But I had a monthly pitch event for startups here in Boston for 3 years. And I would often hear well-meaning advice, which was, you've got to pitch your startup business as if you were telling your grandma. First of all, gendered ageism right there was never grandpa. I had been in the startup ecosystem for forever. And I knew people thought I was in my 50s. And I said, I have got to come out about my age. You are not too old to start. When you put your idea into motion, fear loses its grip.
People are highly adaptable. They find ways to work around things and find joy and passions and keep going.
We know the minute you decide that you're old, that's when the illnesses start cropping up and you're going to fade quickly. Give yourself permission to be that beginner again, but remember, you're too experienced to keep waiting. The biggest risk isn't starting at 65. The biggest risk is reaching 75 and wondering what might have happened if you had started at 65.
Hello, my fellow teenagers. Pastures are for horses, not humans. That is the spirit of today's guest, Andy Lyons. And this is a conversation about why it is never too late to begin, why your experience is your advantage, and how to stop letting fear keep you stuck in place. Andy Lyons is a lifelong entrepreneur, a former startup coach, and the host of the Don't Be Caged by Your Age podcast. She started three businesses between the ages of 50 and 66. She's the founder of the New England Podcasters Community. And at nearly 70, she is one of the most energizing voices out there challenging our internalized ageism. Welcome to the Keen on Aging podcast. I'm Dr. Corinne Allman, and each week I sit down with experts and people living their later life with purpose to share honest conversations and practical insights you can use to live this chapter of life on your own terms. I think it is so important to talk about how people over 65, there's this perception that they are not going to be good with technology and they're not going to know what they're doing and that they don't even want to learn once they get past a certain point. You have built a thriving podcast and you teach how to do these kinds of things to other people. So from where you sit, how does that stereotype hold up? And what would you tell people who are thinking, oh, you know, it's too late for me or it's too late for that person to start something new?
Well, I just want to reframe for everybody. Boomers are tech legends, not tech challenged. And I'm putting that out there. I have a Reddit post that went viral and the stories that came in the threads were so fascinating. We had people who went from handheld calculators, from slide rulers to handheld calculators, from the sound of clickety-clack of manual typewriters to, you know, coding, Fortran. I mean, people have this misperception, and I used to hear it a lot. I had a monthly pitch event for startups here in Boston for 3 years, and I would often hear well-meaning advice, which was, you've got to pitch your startup business as if you were telling your grandma. Of course, I'd have to jump up in my seat. First of all, gendered ageism right there was never grandpa. Mm-hmm. But also the assumption that we didn't know tech. Are you kidding? Who do you think built it? Who do you think had to learn how to code first, right? Who had punched cards? Mm-hmm. Who were game with punch cards back in the day? We went from dial-up, and heaven forbid if you had a zero in your in your phone number because it took forever, to using smartphones. I remember the day they brought the first printer to our office, that you know, and the first copier to our office. So not only did we have to learn all of this, we had to train others on it. Mm-hmm. I remember when you sent letters and now emails. We learned all of that. So this misperception of older adults not getting technology, let me tell you, there are people in their 20s and 30s and 40s who are just as resistant to technology because they're not into it.
Yeah.
So boomers have had to cross over, and the most tech adept tech users out there, in my humble opinion, but they've got this bad rep. And so I love telling folks, And especially folks my age, I'm about to hit 70. Stop it. Just stop it with putting yourself down in technology. If you could learn how to use the remote on the TVs back in the day when we had VCRs, if you could do the answering machine when we had those little cassette tapes that we had to do a recorded outgoing message, incoming, yeah. Oh my gosh, they were so complicated.
If you could figure out how to set your VCR so that it recorded your show on TV when you were not at home with the right channel and the right day and the right time so that you could watch it later. I mean, you can do anything because that was science right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite comments, Dr. Corinne, in this Reddit post was a woman talking about how she's in chemistry class at Stanford. And the professor said to the class, and you, with the handheld calculators, you sit in the back row. And she remembered turning to her friend and saying, what's this handheld calculator, right? And again, went on to be, you know, well-known in the computer industry. Just amazing how far we've come. And we have the brilliance to learn new things. And that's, as you know, one of the most important things as we get older is to learn new things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep challenging your brain all the time so that you keep it active and engaged 100%. I want to go back to one of the things you said a second ago about that there are 20 and 30 year olds who are tech resistant. And I think that touches on a really important point that this has as much to do with an individual's personality as it does their age. So talk about that for a second.
Well, I think some people just want to be in the garden. They want to be an analog life, mm-hmm. right? That's what we used to call it, folks who are younger. The analog life. But I'm a mother of a Gen Z and a young millennial. I know how they go off. They're not on social very often anymore. They like to hang out and do things together, play board games, card games, etc. It's a preference. Meanwhile, I've got smarty pants folks who are 80 years old rocking it in technology. Mm-hmm. So we have to stay open with this intergenerational preference on how we want to rule the world
and
manage our lives.
You have your own podcast, which I love. It's fabulous. This is the best name. I would steal it if I could, called Don't Be Caged by Your Age. And I want to hear what is your favorite interview that you've done on that podcast. Tell everybody kind of what it is and then what's your favorite interview.
Yeah. So first of all, I want to tell everybody about Don't Be Caged by Your Age. And this came because I put a post on LinkedIn when I turned 66, so about 4 years ago. And I held up the Route US 66 sign in front of me and took a photo to go with the post. Because again, I had been in the startup ecosystem for forever. And I knew people thought I was in my 50s. And I said, I have got to come out about my age, right?
Ooh, out of the closet about your age.
Right? And then and age out loud and proud, which is my favorite tagline. Mm-hmm. And I have buttons that I hand out with that on it. But I just thought I've got to, especially in the tech industry, they were really giving older adults a bad rap. So I wrote a post called Don't Be Caged by Your Age, and I talked about gendered ageism in the tech industry, and I talked about all these challenges we have and how when I turned 50, I thought it was over. My entrepreneurship days were over. That was for younger people, and from the age 50 to 66, I had three more businesses. It's like it's never over. Mm-hmm. And so the comments were so enlightening on that post. I heard people who were really struggling with ageism and getting jobs, and I heard people who had shifted and gone on to do remarkable things that I never would have imagined. And in fact, Dr. Corinne, I had to check my own ageism when a 91-year-old said, yeah, I just started my sixth business and I'm doing this and that. I'm like, what the heck are you doing on LinkedIn at 91? And I had to hit myself, why not be on LinkedIn?
Yeah. You have to go, what am I doing? Questioning why they're on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Right. And so I've been podcasting listeners since 2012 and live streaming. And I've always used it as a way to reach more people, increase brand awareness of whatever I was doing. Right. So I knew that this was going to be an important podcast for me and my age group at this time in my life. So I launched Don't Be Caged by Your Age. And at the heart of my work, it's about helping people recognize and challenge their own internalized ageism. There's a ton of people out there helping, you know, society with anti-aging and corporations, right? But I wanted to start talking about how do we dissolve those stories that we've been telling ourselves for years without even realizing it. And most of us have spent a lifetime absorbing these messages that aging means decline, irrelevance, or limitation. And those beliefs quietly influence us, right? Our decisions about work and relationships and health and what's possible for these years. And so what I do on the Don't Be Caged by Your Age podcast is I shine a light on those assumptions and replace them with real stories of people who are thriving in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond, and how they figured it out. And also encouraging everyone, please be okay with being the oldest person in the room. So to answer your question about one of my favorite episodes, and I have her book behind me, it's episode 77 with Erica Anderson, author of The New Old, Crafting Your Best Later Life. And Erica shared a line that has stayed with me ever since, which is, I'm living my life in the best way possible, and I want to have a wonderful time as long as I'm here. Mm-hmm. And in our conversation, we explored what it means to age magnificently, not by accident, but by intention. So we talked about creating a meaningful third act filled with purpose, curiosity, connection, and joy. And for me, it captured what I'm all about, which is how do you fuel that purpose, that passion, and your pocketbook, if you want to, without having all these limiting beliefs about what you're supposed to do at this age. So that was my favorite episode so far. I mean, it's like asking who's your favorite kid, of course. Uh-huh. But that one really stood out to me because in her book, she really shows us how to, you know, what the new old looks like.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out that I was also on Andy's podcast, and yes, she did not say I was her favorite. So,
yep, that's right. Well, because you aren't over 65. I had a special live stream with Dr. Uh-huh. Krim because of the wonderful advice that you were going to bring the community. So I rarely have anybody who's over 65. So you are a special occasion.
You mean
under 65. Thank you. I rarely have anyone under 65. So Dr. Krim, you were a special guest to have on the Don't Be Caged by Your Age podcast.
And what a privilege. What a privilege it was.
Thank you.
But I'll tell you a quick story because, you know, this is my journey. This is everyone's journey as we get older. I want to have a great older adulthood, and I'm already, you know, I'm thinking about it now, and I think everybody should be thinking about it. I recently participated in the senior games in my area because you can start participating in the senior games when you are 50. And when I first found out I qualified, I was really insulted. I was like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? I'm a senior and can participate in the senior games. And then I had to check my internalized ageism, right? Because here I am trying to be pro-aging and have a positive outlook and tell other people to have a positive outlook. But then when it applied to me, I was like, what do you mean? So that, you know, that moment of, oh, what am I thinking? Why do I feel that way? And having to kind of shift. So I did participate, and
well, congratulations.
And enjoyed it tremendously. I mean, it was amazing.
Well, and Dr. Grant, to your point, one of the benefits of the podcast that I've seen that I did not expect were the 40 and 50-year-olds who reached out to me and said, oh my gosh, you mean I can do that? Mm-hmm. So I don't have to feel like the pressure. I've got to get it all done before I turn 60. Right. All my purpose, all my passion, all these things I want to do. Plus, I'm raising kids and I'm helping my older parents and I'm doing all the things in the community.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I can take a breath because I don't have to do that now.
Yeah. There's so much time in front of me that we see it like this cutoff. There's this cutoff date of 65, and then it's, you know, supposedly bliss, but really this sort of nothingness. And you don't think about, oh, there's purpose and opportunity and all these things available during that time period.
That's right. Pastures are for horses, not humans, everyone.
So I'm curious as to how you define success today with what you're doing versus how you might have defined it when you were under 65?
Oh my gosh, I love this question so much. So one of the things that happens as you age, and age well, is that you really get into managing your energy portfolio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, ambition looks different as you age. And some of us like, nah, I'm not so much ambitious, just very passionate, right? Well, for me, I remember just a few months ago, people were going, what are you scaling? What are you growing? How are you meeting Q2? And what have you got and build and all this other stuff? And I thought, yeah, no. Anything that's going to help me build is going to land in my lap. And what I mean by that is after decades of hustle and drive and all the metrics for measuring that, I started looking at things like, well, what am I called to do? If I feel something lands in my lap, meaning, oh, I need to pull on that thread. I feel called to bring another level of whatever to my New England Podcasters group or to my podcast. That is a good use of my energy. Mm-hmm. And so how am I carving out my time? Who am I hanging out with? How am I spending my time? Am I getting caught up in shoulds? No. And so that's the beauty is all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I've only got so much time left in my life and that's not how I'm going to spend it.
I love that. I love that. I think there's really good research on that too, showing that that's very common as we get older. We get really selective about where we will spend our time and what we want to spend our energy on.
And hopefully you're making that good decision and not continuing on some old hamster wheel of expectations.
Yeah. So who are your mentors? Like who are the, you're out here telling us all to, you know, age well and look forward to it. So I can very easily look to you as a mentor and go, okay, this is my future and it looks great. Who are your mentors?
Oh, I love this question too, Dr. Corinne. So, yeah, that's a wonderful thing because as I'm turning 70, I look out in the world and I've got so many inspired elders in their 70s and 80s. Like Melinda Blau. So she's 83 right now. Oh my gosh, she writes the best Substack posts. I howl over them. I have, of course, Erica Anderson, who I just mentioned. I have my dear friend Irene, who at 77 had her first art gallery showing of her decades of artwork from embroidering dungarees in the 60s to watercolor to books to photography. Imagine putting everything out like that at 77. Mm-hmm. I found that so inspirational. And so those are some of my mentors out there. But one of my newest mentors is David McNally. And he wrote a book called, I think it's called, If You're Still Alive, Your Work on Earth Isn't Finished. And, you know, I have noticed as I've aged that I have a lot less desire to read anything about personal development. I feel with all the decades of therapy and personal development, both professionally and personally, I'm really complete. But it was really one of the first nonfiction personal development books I have loved reading. And he coined the phrase inspired elders. And he really sees all of us as mentors because, as you know, you've gone through so much as an adult. You've been adulting for decades. And in our age group, we have been through really difficult times in different stages. And how can we show the younger generations that no matter what life is throwing at you, we can get to the other side. Mm-hmm. We can be in community. We can be hopeful. We can find pathways to get through, whether it's an illness or a death of a loved one or an economic collapse or a terrorist attack, you know, all the things. We've been through that. And so it's almost a responsibility for older generations, older adults, to help the younger generation see the possibilities.
Yeah. So when somebody comes to you and they're over 65 and they're buying in, right? They're like, okay, I hear you. I want to, you know, take a step to start a new business or do something different, but I'm afraid or I'm worried or I don't want to risk my nest egg on this. Like, what do I do? Like, how do I move forward? What would you say to someone who's wanting to buy in and wanting to move forward, but they're kind of paralyzed by what do I do next or how do I handle this?
You know, it's really getting comfortable being a beginner again. I think one of the false narratives that we've taken on is this, I got to be an expert at everything at this age.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. So first of all, you've got to be okay with being a beginner. And you've got to be okay pulling on threads. So when I was a startup coach for years, I would tell people, look, you will always win when you start a new business, and in this case, a new endeavor, no matter what happens. Because what you learn about yourself is priceless. You're going to go deeper, and you're going to find out, oh, I didn't know I could do that. You're going to challenge yourself. You're going to sort of push the edges out a little.
Yeah.
And especially if you're thinking of starting a business, look, it could absolutely fail, and that is okay. You're going to win anyway. And if that means you're going to get picked up maybe as a freelancer somewhere or be able to do something else, maybe you learn from that endeavor, ooh, I didn't like that at all. But you know what? I think I might like to do this. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, the idea that if I'm going to start something new, and I know this would be me too, so I'm calling it out, that I have to be successful at it, or I have to feel pretty assured that it's going to go well, because how, you know, I don't want to start it if I don't, I'm not going to do well. But I think that's such an important point you just made about, yeah, if you, even if it doesn't go well, you learn something and then you pivot, you switch gears.
Right. And how do you know if you don't try? So there was this woman, an attorney for decades. People said, oh, you should become a landscaper, you know, help people with their gardens. Your gardens are so beautiful. She goes, okay. She hated it. She started it, did the cards, did the website, did all the things. Like 6 months in, she goes, oh my God, I cannot do this. This is awful. I feel so isolated. I hate it. Mm-hmm. She moved on to something else.
Yeah.
You know, I interviewed one gal, CPA, for 40 years. She went back to what she originally loved, which was acting, but she became a voice actor. Now think about that. Today, she is fully booked at the age of, 72, 73, 74, something like that, as a voice actor. She took lessons. She had loved acting as a, you know, in her high school and college days. And she just said, I want to take it to the next level. And boom. And she's the one that you're going to hear, like maybe at the museum or at an automobile ad locally or whatever. So it's fascinating to hear these stories of people who tried something new, loved it, and they're fueling their passion, purpose, and pocketbook.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back to the beginner's mind piece that you said a second ago, because I do think that for a lot, especially for people who've been professionals their whole life, and maybe they've had the CPA, the lawyer that you just mentioned, they've spent so much time in their career being the expert. Mm-hmm. To step back and say, okay, I'm going to be a beginner again. I'm going to learn something brand new is scary, but it is so good for your brain. It is so good to challenge yourself in that way. Can you speak to like some of the people you've seen who've really like challenged themselves and grown through that process?
Absolutely. So many people have done that, from writing a book, right, to learning a new craft or you know, running for the first time. I interviewed Ginny McCall. Now, Ginny, at the age of 64, was watching her daughter, who was really well-known on American Ninja, and saying, you know what, I want to do one pull-up. Well, it took her a whole year to do that pull-up.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, she got so into it, she became a ninja athlete herself. And when she turned, I think, 73, the Guinness Book of World Records declared her the oldest female ninja athlete.
Wow. And that's impressive. I mean,
that's a new beginner, right? But also, you know, not just writing the book. I interviewed a phenomenal man who had been in public radio all his life. And as he always likes to say, and I have the bank account to prove it, he would run all sorts of things. But he had always been an executive and maybe executive producer. The last time he had done any kind of audio editing was when you spliced the tape and put it together, right? So when he retired at the age of 70, he went on to learn all these tools and produced a nationally recognized award-winning 13 series for NPR on Billie Holiday.
Wow.
You know, but he had to learn all of that. He had to learn those tools. And to your point about how good it is for your brain, it really, the synapses that start happening in your brain as you're learning something new, it can be a new language, cooking, gardening, whatever, it creates the connectivity. You can talk about it better than I can, Dr. Corinne, that lights up your brain and keeps you staying in that moment of curiosity and growth versus atrophying in on the couch. And we know the minute you decide that you're old, that's when the illnesses start cropping up. Your mindset is not serving you well, and you're going to fade quickly.
Yeah, we know that there's a lot of evidence that that outlook you have, right?
Right.
A positive outlook on aging is, you know, you're going to recover better from injury. You're going to walk faster. You're going to, this is Dr. Becca Levy's research up at the Yale School of Public Health. So let's give her credit. But all of these positive benefits just from that outlook you have on how your aging journey is going to go.
Having that level of enthusiasm and passion. And let's face it, you get to 65, there's a high chance you're going to live to 85. What are you going to do with those 20 years?
Yeah.
And if you look back on what you did in the last 20 years, come on. It, of course, it doesn't have to be at that level. But what do you want that to look like?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's an important point because so many people don't really have a plan for those 20 years, right? Like we have so many plans for in, you know, early adulthood, you know, you're building your career, you're starting a family, you know, middle life is busy with taking care of aging parents and raising kids and working full time. And then we get to this final stage, this third act, I think, as you said earlier, and people don't have a plan for that. It's just sort of this blank slate. And I think that blank slate can be something where you make beautiful paintings and do all kinds of interesting things, or it can be this blank slate of sort of nothingness. And how you're viewing it, how you're framing it, and the plans you're making really are going to dictate a lot of how it goes. And that's, you know, whatever you're going to do, maybe you're going to start up a new podcast, that, you know, whatever that joy is, but you've got to find something.
You sure do. And yeah, I was talking to one of my neighbors. He's 62 and he's retired and he's so happy. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And I just, you know, listen to his stories. They're moving to North Carolina and this and that. I'm like, that's great. That's wonderful. But in the back of my head, I knew. About 67, 68, you're going to be done playing golf all the time. You're going to be done with all the great travel. You're going to need something else. But when you, some folks, when they first retire, they're so glad to be out of that J-O-B.
Yes.
Right? Especially if it was a very stressful, non-fulfilling J-O-B. And, but they're not looking at the future in a way about what's going to light them up, you know, how to rewire instead of retire.
Yeah. At least what I see is it's somewhere between 6 and 18 months that they're like, woohoo, it's a party. I'm so happy. And then somewhere in there, they start to go, I've got 20 or 30 more years of this. And then they start to really think about how to reframe it and how to, you know, what am I going to do at this point?
And physical challenges will happen. So I interviewed a fascinating woman in her early 70s who was a physical therapist, I mean, PhD level physical therapist, ran physical therapy practices, was just at the top of her game when in her late 60s, she woke up one day and her vision had changed. She was only seeing the outside. She had to go through all sorts of eye surgeries. It was very intense and she had to stop doing physical therapy. Well, she was sitting with her granddaughter and they were drawing. And her granddaughter's like, oh my gosh, Grammy, look at that. That's a I love this. I love that. Well, this woman has become an artist and she's doing a children's book. She's like found a whole new way. I mean, her eyesight, she's doing some other things to help her eyesight. It looks like it may be coming back well, but it's still uncertain in the healing process. But she has found a different way to express herself and be fully engaged. It's so darn exciting.
You know, and that's the thing, too. I think we are incredibly adaptable and incredibly resilient. And I think sometimes when we're younger, we look at other people and their health challenges, particularly as they get older, and we go, oh, I would never want to live like that, or I would never want to go through it. And the thing that my work in care management has shown me, and talking to all these teenagers out there, is that, you know, we're all going to have challenges, like you just said, but people are highly adaptable. And, you know, they find ways to work around things and find joy and passions and keep going, you know, no matter what's going on. And those health challenges, they're really, they're going to happen to all of us. They're kind of a bump in the road, but they don't stop people from living fulfilled, joyful, purposeful lives.
I interviewed a woman who had an autoimmune system that attacked her vision completely. She went blind in her late 50s. I mean, top of her game. Well, today, again, early 70s, she's using those Meta Ray-Ban glasses and doing video and inspirational stories for people.
Yeah.
Because she was able to get through the pain, the horror, the sadness, the grief, the anger, and get to the other side. And now, she's a definite inspired elder, inspiring folks, and able to, she knows she's in front of the mirror in the bathroom or wherever, right? And she just starts talking and it creates a video. It's amazing.
Yeah. So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your podcasting journey, because Don't Be Caged by Your Age is your fourth podcast.
Oops. It's actually my sixth.
Your sixth. Okay. It's her sixth podcast. So tell us about that journey and kind of how you have, you know, gone through these different ones and ended up running the podcast group in New England. Tell us about that.
Oh, thank you. It's one of my favorite stories because I love, love, love podcasting. And I had a platform in 2012 that I knew that I needed to podcast to talk about. And it was called Bring Back Desire. It was how to help long-term couples stay tuned in and turned on with each other and fun relationship and sexy advice. So I knew I wanted to podcast, but I was really scared. And so I actually had a producer help me with the first year. So I interviewed two people at a time, one right after another. And for 52 weeks, she held my hand. And I got, by the end of that, became a pro. Felt wonderful, was able to go off on my own and then, you know, produce on Blog Talk Radio and then other things. But I was also doing live stream using Google Plus Hangouts, which was a really sketchy, difficult technology back in the day, but I learned a lot from it. And then I had a Possibility Partners podcast, but then I landed into the Startup Life show, which was a podcast I had to help founders who were brand new to running a business. And I did that for years. And then I did what I called my sort of palate cleanser between the Startup Life show, and which I, for 3 years, I did 250 episodes live twice a week across LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube,
and Twitch. I'm tired just thinking about that.
Taking comments from the crowd. Oh my gosh, there's no editing. It was live. Interviewing diverse founders from around the world, talking about their very intense tech businesses. So I had to keep up and running on that. But when that stopped, I really wanted to talk about something that we all had in common, which was our humanity. And I interviewed, I had 30 episodes of a podcast called Your Ink Story. And it was because I wanted to find out why someone put those images on their body through tattoos ink. Because that is the human experience. You know, I love mom, your kids' dates, whatever art you were putting on there, your favorite pet that may be passed, a saying, a quote. We are all on this human journey together, and it really was what connected us. It was wonderful. And then I launched Don't Be Caged by Your Age. And the reason I love podcasting is that it's a wonderful way to stay curious. And remember, I was 56 when I launched my first podcast. You meet so many interesting people. You're finding that out right now, right?
Yeah.
And you remain connected to the world around you. And you can build friendships, actually. They might be virtual, but you get to know some people and what they're doing. And it's something that I highly recommend for older adults. And I'll give you one example. Mary Forster, she had a 30-year-long career as a lobbyist for AARP. And then, I don't know, 10, 15, 20-year career as a real estate agent. And at 75, she just launched a fabulous podcast called Real Estate Connections. And she's doing great. I tell her all the time, the camera loves you. But she's having it produced and having the best time and best conversations. So I highly recommend it. It's also very affordable. After you make the one-time purchase of a good webcam and mic, it's about $50 a month if you're doing it yourself using all these very easy tools to navigate. Because remember, you're not tech challenged. You are a tech legend. So
just keep saying that to yourself as you're learning all the tools.
But the thing to remember is you're not starting with the tech. You're starting with your curiosity. And, you know, what conversations do you want to have? What stories do you want to tell? And who would you love to meet? Mm-hmm. Podcasting gives you a reason to reach out to people you'd never otherwise have the opportunity to connect with, which I know you're experiencing, Dr. Corinne. So, and if you're feeling intimidated, don't do it alone. Join a community of fellow podcasters. And I had a self-first reason for launching the New England Podcasters Group. I wanted to build more local community. I'd been online since 2010, had some great friends online, but I wanted to just get something local. And I'm in Boston, right outside of Boston, so I wanted it to be New England. And I love podcasters. Indie podcasters are so fascinating, whether they're talking about paranormal or relationships or how to cook or some mystery or true crime or something they're just passionate about. They're so fascinating. And I wanted to have a sense of community, and I wanted to be part of an intergenerational community. So in March of 2024, I gathered a few local folks on a Zoom call and said, hey, what do you think? And they're like, yes. And one person said, I've got the place to host it. And it's a cable community access TV station. We have TV cameras, a podcast studio. It's so ideal. So they host us every month. And it's right off a major highway, so all the New England states can get there easily. And then, you know, someone in the podcast industry said, hey, I'll front you the food and send you money for the food every month. I'm like, thank you. But and I shored it up with making sure that I had a few people there with me, someone who could talk about maybe monetizing a podcast for that first event, first meetup. But what I did was I said, I'm going to be here every second Saturday of the month at 12 noon. I hope you can join me. I hope you can come by and get some community with people who actually know what you're talking about. Because when you tell someone you're podcasting, they're like, oh, that's nice. They don't have no idea what goes into it. But you get with fellow podcasters and there everybody's got the clappers out. And so this was so important to me because it's so easy to feel isolated, especially as you're aging. And I wanted to create a welcoming space where podcasters could learn together, share resources, ask questions, celebrate, right? Mm-hmm. And not make it such a solo journey. And I would say 30% of our podcasters are over 55 in the podcast group. But we have ages in their folks in their 20s, right? Yeah. So you've got that wonderful intergenerational community. And then to show off, I say that fun. I decided I wanted to create an online community as well for podcasters, so I created the Community Pod Garden. So while we're rooted in New England, this membership online community is a place and space that welcomes folks from around the world. And so
I'll be looking that up after the show to see. Yeah. Because my next question was going to be, so there's a New England podcasters group. Are there groups like this in other areas of the country that if people aren't from New England, that they could get that kind of community and support from? And selfishly, I want to know too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I only know about the annual event for indie podcasters, which is PodFest in January in Orlando. It's absolutely wonderful. It's attendee centric, which means they're all about you connecting with other podcasters while you're learning. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely wonderful. And it's really what I wanted to create in an in-person podcast meetup. But because we've got these great TV cameras, right, studio cameras, we have the ability for folks to join us in our Zoom room every month and still feel that connectivity and all of that. I do need to come up with a blueprint for folks who want to do this themselves in their neck of the woods. So I need to pull that together so that folks can use it as an example, because it's so rewarding. And in person, there's just something about being able to hug someone and look them in the eyes and laugh with them and the side conversations I see. We have around, on average, 30-plus folks that show up physically every month on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And some are driving 2.5-3 hours to get there. That's how important that connection is.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure they're learning a tremendous amount from each other. And like you said, intergenerational interactions, that's all, you know, you get a lot out of that meeting. So it's worth driving for, I'm sure.
That's right. And so I'm just thrilled. 26 months in a row. It's been just one of the best things I've ever done.
So as we're coming to the end of our time together, what are the things that you need to tell us or that people need to know as they grow older that we haven't covered so far?
Well, I want to remind you, and I'm going to use my Boston accent for a second. Fia loves parked cars. It's fear loves parked cars. When you put your idea into motion, fear loses its grip. And I really think that we can't say that enough, Dr. Corinne, right? At 65, yes, you're having a beginner's mindset, but you are not starting from scratch. You really are starting from a base of tremendous experience. Mm-hmm. But the biggest risk, and we know that sitting is, if you're not doing anything, it's like smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So just remember that. The biggest risk isn't starting at 65. The biggest risk is reaching 75 and wondering what might have happened if you had started at 65, or reaching 85 and saying, what if I had started sooner? Give yourself permission to be that beginner again, but remember, you're too experienced to keep waiting. You've got decades of lived experience that will really shore up whatever you want to do and whatever you want to try, because you are not too old to start.
Wonderful. Such great advice. And we all need to hear it and spread the word so that everybody gets that same message. Because I think it's hard. That's not the message that the culture feeds us all the time.
Oh, they want us to pack up and see you bye.
So, Andy, where can people find you if they would like to connect and learn more about you and what you do?
Thank you, Dr. Corinne. Andy, A-N-D-E, Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S. You can find me anywhere online, LinkedIn, everywhere. But also check out Don't Be Caged by Your Age, the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can visit the website, don'tbecagedbyyourage.com. And if you're looking for a community to join, whether you're in the New England area or not, please check out newenglandpodcasters.group and definitely visit our Instagram feed, because you'll really howl over some of the reels there. You can see these people are really having a good time.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you. And to the listener, please remember to age out loud and proud. Don't shrink with age. Take center stage. And don't be caged by your age. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Dr. Corinne. I really appreciate being here.
Yeah, thank you for being here.